All right, open your Bibles, if you would, with me to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. I can't tell you what page that's on. I can't ask you if you have a handout. I can ask you, but... because as you can tell, Pastor is not with us here this morning. He is at home rejoicing in his infirmities. Because when we are weak, then we are strong. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. I just want to read one very short verse. In verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Apostle Paul writes to these Thessalonian believers, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." All right, now that exhortation there, "In everything give thanks," is right in the middle of a list of kind of short reminders that the apostle is closing out this 1 Thessalonian epistle with. And sometimes we'll read through a passage like this and pass by those kind of brief statements that he's making there, and they all sort of blend together, and rather than stop and rest on each one, sometimes that kind of gets blurred in our mind. Now, here we are this morning, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. I trust you all had a good Thanksgiving. You know, people talk about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is my absolute favorite holiday. And it's not because I like turkey, because I don't particularly. I mean, it's okay. I eat it, but it's not like I crave it. And, you know, people call it, you say Happy Thanksgiving to someone, and they'll say Happy Turkey Day. And my first thought is, you do know that you can have turkey any day of the year, right? It's not illegal to have turkey except on this one day. But we're going to call it Turkey Day because we don't want to call it what it's intended to be, and that is Thanksgiving. So I've taken lately to, I don't wish people a happy Thanksgiving anymore. I wish people a true Thanksgiving. And that's what you and I need. So here we are now, post-Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is over, right? Thanksgiving is over, the holiday is over, and now what happens? Now we've got something else to look forward to now right away, right? Because Christmas is coming. Thanksgiving is over, and Thanksgiving is kind of the kickoff to the holiday season, and it's that one day where we all sit around and get fat and look forward to all of this wonderful shopping and hustle and bustle and all of these things that we need to do. I know you all look forward to that, right? Yeah. Nothing we'd rather do, right? Elbow each other and get elbowed in the eye in a store somewhere. But, you know, that next day there after Thanksgiving, we call it Black Friday, right? And that is because all the stores, all the merchants go into the black. They turn a profit for the year on that day. So they lose money all year long until this time of year. So it's kind of this time of year now moving forward that they tend to hype. And that we as a culture have really fallen into that hype. As a matter of fact, just a couple of years ago, I remember we're sitting at the Thanksgiving table, and my daughters, they all, not all of them, but a couple of them, they get into the whole, you know, Black Friday thing. I mean, they get stacks of newspapers and they bring them to the house on Thanksgiving. I'm like, well, what are you bringing all those papers? And they're pulling out the coupons and the sales and they're organizing everything and we're going to go here and we're going to go there. It's really kind of fun to watch, as long as it's someone else doing it. But a couple of years ago, we're sitting at Thanksgiving, at the Thanksgiving table, and people start getting up. I mean, you know, okay, we're done with dinner, but we're sitting around talking, and people are getting up and putting on their coats. I'm going, where are you guys going? We need to go shopping. What do you mean you need to go shopping? Black Friday is tomorrow. No, they moved it up. It's on Thanksgiving now. So that we can cut our time short and just kind of encroach on this. So in this season of post Thanksgiving, what I'd like to bring out to you today is really a very simple message, and that is that there's no such thing as post Thanksgiving. And especially, and yeah, we're going to get dispensational about this, because Thanksgiving does have a special and unique place in this dispensation of the grace of God. Here in our verse, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, you see what Paul says? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, what Paul is saying there, he's telling us, obviously, that we're to give thanks in everything. And that preaches for 45 minutes. There's a lot of things that we'd rather not be thankful for. But Paul says, in everything, give thanks. But what I want you to see here is that he says it's the will of God. Not just that it's the will of God that you and I should give thanks. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now what's Paul, what does he mean when he says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? Well, who's he writing to? He's writing to the body of Christ. And the will of God in Christ Jesus, come back to Ephesians in chapter 3 with me. And let's get an idea of what Paul means when he says that. You know, there is, God has different parts to his will. We talked a few weeks back, we had a two-message, very short series on the will of God for all man. And that is that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Those two things are God's will for all men. This, what Paul's talking about here, he doesn't say this is the will of God for all. He says this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say, well, doesn't God want all men to be thankful? Yeah, he does. But thankfulness has a special place and a special function in this dispensation of the grace of God that you and I live in today. And it's one we need to understand. When Paul says it's the will of God in Christ Jesus, look in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul says, start in verse 8, he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent. Now, what's Paul talking about here? First of all, there in verse 8, he says, unto me, is this grace given? So he's talking about something that was committed specifically to him, to the Apostle Paul. This grace is given that I should preach among the Gentiles. So The message is given to Paul, and it's given for the Gentile nations. Now, if you know your Bible, you know right away that there's something special about that. Because it hadn't been, the Word of God hadn't been to the Gentile nations since there were Gentile nations. Now, all of a sudden, here's Paul talking about a message that's committed to him to preach among the Gentiles. And what is that? The unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. People read past that. That's one of those statements that people just read. They keep on reading by. You say, you think, okay, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The riches of God, the riches of Christ is just incomprehensible. It doesn't say incomprehensible. It says unsearchable. You know what that means? You know what you search? You search the Scriptures. The Lord told those scribes and Pharisees, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have salvation, and they are they that testify of me. You search the Scriptures, you find Jesus Christ all through. Those Bereans received the word with all readiness of mind, and what did they do? Search the Scriptures. Peter says those holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and after the Holy Ghost inspired them to write some stuff down, they went back searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. What are they searching? They're searching the Scriptures. So when Paul says to me, it's given to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, he's talking about something that isn't back there, that isn't there in the prophetic Scriptures. It's unsearchable. You can't do what the Lord told those Pharisees to do and search the Scriptures and find this message. So this is what Paul is talking about here. To make, verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So that's why you can't search it, because it's been hid in God. God, this is a message that God didn't tell anybody about. And it's unsearchable outside of Paul's epistles, that message that was committed to him. To the intent. Back up again, read verse 9 again. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That's what Paul wanted. He wanted us to have, to see, to have, to enjoy the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 11 is where we're getting to. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, in all things giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that will of God in Christ Jesus is what Paul's talking about here. When he says, according to the eternal purpose that God purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It has to do with this mystery. It has to do with the body of Christ. It has to do with this dispensation. You see what he calls it there? That eternal purpose. Look back in chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. Do you know if it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, the body of Christ, members in particular, that you be thankful in all things? Now, don't get that lost in the midst of all the other things that God wants us to do, because there's something special about that there. you and I, we live in a dispensation of God, right? What do we call this dispensation? The dispensation of grace. You know what grace is? Grace is a gift. You know what you do when you get a gift? You say, thank you.
Amen.
See, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has all the people of God from all time and for all time will give thanks to God. It's always appropriate to give God thanks, and it's always His will for His people to be thankful to Him. You know, the reason for that is that we as creatures of our Creator need. We need gratitude. We need gratitude to live, to serve our purpose. You know, you think about the things that we thank God for. You sit down at a meal. That's the most common and probably public way that we do it. When we come together here, we thank God. You sit down at a meal and you thank God for the food. Well, has it ever occurred to you? There's God. He's meeting a need. A need, something you need to live. That food. So you thank Him for that. But have you ever thought about the fact that He's the one who created you with that need to begin with? So He created the need. Then He meets the need. So you think about that and you go, oh, okay, wait a minute. Then why am I thanking Him? Yeah, He's meeting the need, but He's the one who put it there to begin with. Look, you need to receive your life from God. That is by virtue of who you are as a creature from the hand of the Creator. God created us with needs that we would recognize so that we could be thankful to Him. He made us with needs so that we would have gratitude, because we need gratitude. We need to be thankful in order to fulfill our purpose as creations from the hand of God. You can't fulfill your purpose as a human being, never mind a Christian, without gratitude. You need it. I need it. We need gratitude like we need air to live. You know what happens when you stop being thankful, when you find yourself post-Thanksgiving? You lose your life. You lose your life. We can't live without gratitude. Gratitude isn't just something that God wants us to do, just to be thankful for all things. He's given it to us for our life. Ephesians chapter 1 here, that eternal purpose. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God has blessed us. You know, read through this. We read through this in the scripture reading. And there is more here just in these first 14 verses or so for you and for me to be thankful for than we could ever work our way through in a lifetime and in an eternity of lifetimes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Blessed, blessed, blessed. In heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. See, there's that eternal purpose in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now that purpose, that will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, is that God be glorified. that God be glorified in you. Now, you know what that is concerning you? That's thanksgiving. You understand that the purpose, the reason you and I exist, is to glorify God. Amen. To bring glory and honor to God. Amen. If we can't do that, we don't have life. Do you know, all creation is going to glorify God, one way or another. The Lord Jesus Christ was exalted by God the Father after becoming obedient to death, was raised and ascended and set at the right hand of God, being highly exalted, and he's given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, all creation is going to glorify God. You know what thanksgiving is? Thanksgiving is rejoicing in God's glory. Seeing God glorified and having it spring up joy in you. All creation, they're not going to do that, those things under the earth. They're going to confess that Christ is Lord and God's going to be glorified, even in the wicked. But they're not going to be happy about it. They're not going to rejoice in the glory of God. They're going to be forced to glorify God. You and I, we have a special calling. We have a calling unto thanksgiving, to rejoice in the glory of God. Look with me at 2 Timothy in chapter 1. You know who else was forced, or maybe I'll use the word compelled, to glorify God? The nation of Israel under the law was compelled to worship, to glorify God. Because what the Lord gave to them was an if-then system. A system of practice and of life that said that if you will obey, if you will glorify God, if you will walk in His commandments, if you will obey His statutes, if you will keep His covenant, then God will bless you. But if you disobey, God will curse you. He will punish you. So you know what happens under a system like that? You're compelled to glorify God. You really don't have a lot of choice. Now, it was the true Israelite indeed who did it by choice anyway. But the system and the dispensation was set up as a compulsory glorification of God. You know, you could work that system, you could live that life, and never be thankful. You could bring glory to God all day long, do the service, bring the sacrifice, do all of those things, and never be thankful. For you and for me, see, we've got a different situation going on here. Look what Paul says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest. So, that purpose of God again, in Christ Jesus, that eternal one, from before the foundation of the world, that's what Paul's talking about here again. What is that purpose? According to his own purpose and grace. The grace that was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In this dispensation of the grace of God that you and I live in, we are not compelled to glorify God. It is absolutely voluntary. Absolutely voluntary. Because there is no if-then in this dispensation that you and I live in. Here we are, 3 days after Thanksgiving. Have you stopped thanking God because Thanksgiving's over? Did you take the occasion of Thanksgiving to thank God? Or was it Turkey Day for you? Do you do what Paul tells those Thessalonians to do? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This mystery, this dispensation that you and I live in today, this is all about gratitude. The operating, see, thanksgiving is not just one in a list of things that we're told to do. Thanksgiving is the operating principle of grace. Under the law, the operating principle is fear. If then, if you do this, walk, toe the line, walk the straight and narrow, and you'll be okay. Step out of line. That's not how you and I live today. You know who lives that way? A child. Lives, does the right thing out of fear. You and I, this is a new dispensation that we live in. This is the dispensation of the grace of God. The motivating force for you and for me is not fear. Well, if it's not fear, then what is it? Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the operating principle concerning you in this dispensation of grace. This is how you and I walk and live this life. Without gratitude, without thanksgiving, especially in this day of grace, we can't live. We can't live without gratitude, especially today. If you're serving the Lord out of something other than gratitude, you've missed the purpose of God in Christ Jesus that He ordained from before the foundation of the world, never told anybody about. You can't search it in the Scriptures. Now He comes and He tells the Apostle Paul, and through Paul to all the Gentiles, including you and me. And what God has been doing for these last going on 2,000 years, if you don't have gratitude, you missed it. You missed it. It's been coming from before the foundation of the world. God kept it hidden Himself for all that time. Finally, it came time to reveal it, and He revealed it, and it's been revealed for the last 2,000 years, and you missed it. Because without gratitude, because gratitude is the operating principle of this age. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, verse 13, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So, Paul's talking about this Christian life and how we live it. And how is Paul constrained here in this passage in verse 14? What is constraining him? Is it fear? Is it threats? Is it a conditional covenant? Is it the promise of God that if he does the right thing, God will bless him? No. What constrains the Apostle Paul? The love of Christ. The love of Christ constraineth us. You know, Paul says on more than one occasion to those Thessalonians, I'm bound to give thanks for you. I'm constrained by gratitude. Gratitude makes me do what I do. It's not fear, it's not guilt. It's not religious pride. It's gratitude. It's thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the operating principle in the dispensation of the grace of God. So when Paul says that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, this is what he's talking about. This is, come over to Ephesians chapter 1 again, in our scripture reading this morning. This is why we're here. This is why we're here, and it's how we live. It's why we live this Christian life. It's how we live this Christian life. It's why we were saved, and it's how we were saved. How were you saved? By receiving a gift and saying, thank you, Lord. Did you work for it? Did you earn it? Did you do anything to get it? No. That's why they call it grace. It's a gift. So when you came to realize that all I need to do is say, thank you, Lord, that's when you got saved. You were saved by gratitude, by faith, and appreciation for what God did for you. And gratitude and thanksgiving is the end for which you were saved. That's why you and I are here, is so that God can be glorified and his people can rejoice in that fact. That's why he created this dispensation. It's all about thanksgiving. It's all about thanksgiving. Ephesians chapter 1 again, verse 4. According as in after verse 3, blessed be God, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's that will that we're talking about. Why? To the praise of the glory of his grace. So why did he do that? Why has he blessed you, in verse 3, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? Why did he choose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, in verse 4, so that you could be holy and without blame before him? Why did he predestinate you to the adoption of children? Why was it the good pleasure of his will to do that? Because it would be to the praise of the glory of his grace. It, what Paul calls, redounds to thanksgiving. It causes. Paul tells the Corinthians, he says, the abundant grace redounds by the thanksgiving of many to the glory of God. It's the effect. It's the outcome of grace. The result of grace is to the praise of his glory, is thanksgiving. You read on. In whom? We've been made accepted in the Beloved at the end of verse 6. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And boy, we could just stop at every word here. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. There's that purpose. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. See, that's that purpose of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that's the purpose of God for Christ Jesus. The purpose of God in Christ concerning you, Paul says, is that you be thankful. That's the purpose of God for you. That you be thankful in all things. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Why? That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Why is the Lord doing this? Why did He choose us and predestinated us to the praise of His glory? Why do we have redemption through Christ's blood and an inheritance in Him? It's to the praise of His glory. Paul goes on, he's not done yet. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Why? Unto the praise of His glory. Everything God does, and Paul's talking about that purpose. The purpose of God in Christ Jesus. The end of it all, over and over and over again, is the praise of His glory, is thanksgiving. The reason you and I are here, members of the body of Christ, the reason we were created, the reason the body was created, the reason this purpose was set up by God from before the foundation of the world, and He revealed it in due time, and He created this thing called the body of Christ, was to the praise of His glory. It's all about thanksgiving. Down the way in chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says that God hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. You know, you and I, our destiny as members of the body of Christ, our eternal destination and inheritance that Paul's talking about here, you know what that is? It's to be trophies, eternal living trophies of the grace of God. That He could take sinners like you and me, demand nothing from us, but save us completely, entirely as a free gift. That God could do that will redound throughout the universe for all eternity unto the thanksgiving and praise of God. That's why you exist. Thanksgiving. It's why we're here. It's why the dispensation was created. It's why the body of Christ lives. We can't exist without gratitude. When you and I go through this daily Christian life, if you try to work it on any other basis, if you're compelled by anything other than gratitude, it won't work. And you know that. You've tried it. We've all tried it. Fear doesn't work in this dispensation. Guilt doesn't work in this dispensation. You know what works? Gratitude. Gratitude is what compels us. We've got a couple of minutes. Come to Romans chapter 6 with me. You know that, Romans chapter 6, for all eternity, you and I will have the privilege of existing to the praise and glory of the grace of Almighty God. That's going to go on forever and ever and ever. See, there is no post-Thanksgiving. What comes after Thanksgiving? Christmas. No. Nothing comes after Thanksgiving. Romans chapter 6. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But Paul's saying here, look, you're going to be a servant one way or the other. You can be a servant to sin. That's going to work death in you. Or of obedience unto righteousness. Be the servant of righteousness. But God be thanked. We're thanking God here this morning. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. What was that form of doctrine? Grace. Thank God you obeyed that. And being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So there's that. The love of Christ compels us again. That's what we're chained to. That's what we're... Paul talks about the bondage of the old covenant, trying to serve God under the law. And he says, don't put yourself under that bondage again. But that doesn't mean that you and I aren't servants. We just serve a different master. And it's the love of Christ that compels us. We're servants to righteousness now. Thank God. Those passages that we went through there in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul tells Titus, we'll close. Paul tells Titus that, you know, God, before the foundation of the world, when he created this purpose, he had a discussion with himself and he made some promises. Paul talks about God that cannot lie promised this dispensation before the world began. Before there was anyone to promise it to, God promised it. Promised it to himself. This is part of God's promise to himself. And what did that conversation look like back there before the foundation of the world? Well, you're reading about it in Ephesians chapter 1. God the Father predestined this thing, chose you, blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God the Son came and died for you and gave you the remission of sins through His blood, by the shedding of His blood, and gave you an inheritance in Him. And the Holy Ghost took that and applied that to you and sealed you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are in that passage, and everything they did according to that eternal purpose that God promised before the world began. They had an eternal life conference. And that the three members of the Godhead promised each other some things. And it's everything that God's doing today. It's this thing called grace. And the final outcome of it all is thanksgiving, glory, and praise to God. So, this little holiday, you know, I tell people, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. One of the reasons it is because it's really the only Christian holiday we have. We take, you know, some pagan occasions and we borrow those and you know, tag some Christian themes to them and that kind of thing. And that's fine. I do it. We all do it. We love to, you know, celebrate Resurrection Day especially and those times. But all of those holidays predate Christ. Thanksgiving is really the only Christian holiday that we have. It's not just an American holiday, it's a Christian holiday. Started and founded by members of the body of Christ who knew that, you know what they knew? They knew that the body of Christ wasn't in a Eucharist, in a wafer, in a piece of bread. They knew that the body of Christ was something more than that. They broke away from that. Then they started giving thanks. We will call it there. In the dispensation of grace and in the purpose of God, there is no such thing as after Thanksgiving. Nothing comes after Thanksgiving. So, in everything, be thankful, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is it. Don't forget to be thankful. We're done.